Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, it seems like everyone saw their friend's doppelganger, but the big question is why?
This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
If you have a real ghost story, we would love to hear it. So call it in if you want to. It's 855-853-4802. Or write it in. Go to realghoststoriesonline.com. And remember, if you want to be a premium subscriber, you get advanced episodes, access to the entire archive, which is like 5,000 episodes, no commercials. You can sign up through Apple Podcasts. You can also sign up at patreon.com/realghoststories or go to ghostpodcast.com. I'm Carol Hughes and Kathy Gordon's here today.
And this, I am here. I love doppelgangers. You know, doppelgangers are like my thing.
I can't say I love them. Like, there's doppelganger photos is one thing. But if a doppelganger, like, how do you even know if you see a doppelganger? Like,
what do you mean?
When you actually think you see your friend, but it's not your friend. Your friend wasn't even there. Who was it that you saw? That kind of doppelganger.
But there are paranormal. In real life, though, there are real life people that look a lot alike. When I was growing up, there was this girl that lived in McCook, Nebraska, and we had family from McCook. So we'd go up to stay there a lot and stuff. And everybody would say, you look just like this Patricia or whatever her name was. I can't remember her name now. And I'd be like, well, I don't know her or whatever. And people would be all the time saying to me, oh, I thought you were at that party. And I was like, no, I wasn't at that party. Well, it must have been so. This other girl. Apparently, I and this other girl looked amazingly a lot alike. That people got us confused all the time.
I had a doppelganger in college, and I can't remember her name. But all the time, like, people would be going, hey, hey, whatever. Let's say her name
right,
is Sarah.
That's what I'm talking
and
about.
And I'd be like, hey,
right?
Sarah, hey, Sarah. And I'd be like, they think I'm Sarah. I'm not Sarah. And I'd turn around. They'd come running up, start talking to me. I'm like, I'm not her. My name's Carol. And
right.
They'd be like, what? And so the funny thing was that whoever the girl was, this happened for a couple of years. It happened a lot. I never did run into her. But she worked at the radio station on campus, and I, at that time, was a journalism major. I wasn't even thinking about radio at that time. But it was weird that I ended up going into radio, too, just like my doppelganger did. But it happened all the time.
And I'm telling you, that's what happened with me and this girl up in McCook. And that's what I mean. Like, I love a good doppelganger story.
But you this know, doppelganger, think, this one...
I also do art history doppelgangers, too. Like, I find really old paintings by Rembrandt or Titian or whatever, and then I find some celebrity who looks like they're that person from that painting. And oftentimes, it's uncanny, you know?
I've looked
how
at...
How much they look like.
I've looked at old photos. You know, when you see a group of people in an old photo, I'm like, I always look at them and go, wouldn't it be weird if I saw myself?
Right.
But this is actually like a paranormal situation.
Okay. But see, I think these are fascinating too. Like, I am totally fascinated by this whole thing.
It's a little creepy.
Sure.
But it says, I want to start off by saying I've looked at this encounter from various angles, but remain convinced that I did encounter a doppelganger. So this happened back in 2011 while I was still in high school. I was taking AP Spanish and the exams were coming up. To better prepare us, our teacher decided not only to hold a mock exam on a Saturday morning, but also make it a huge part of our grade. We didn't have to pass the test, just show up was all. I thought that's kind of an interesting thing to do. Anyway, it was around 9 in the morning when I got to school, and being a bit early, I decided to go into the class and just sit down and relax a little. As I walked into the classroom, I looked to my left and I saw my friend Juan helping a couple of people rewind tape recorders that were going to be used for the exam. Now, normally, Juan would come up to me and we'd give each other a high five and say, what's up? But this time, he just waved and said absolutely nothing. I found it strange, but it didn't seem too out of the ordinary, so I didn't think much of it at the time. Fast forward 2 hours, and I was so busy focusing on the test that it took up till the end to realize that Juan wasn't sitting with our group like he usually does. In fact, It took me that long to realize I couldn't see him anywhere around the room, so I asked out loud if anyone had seen him. My friend Carlos was the first to respond, saying that he had seen him in the morning as well. Suddenly, a girl from the table across from ours turned to us and told us that she had seen him. Her friend looked at her with a confused face and said that Juan didn't show up at all, and then showed us the text messages that he had sent her to prove it. I remember at that point that I saw him next to a kid named Pablo when I walked in, so I went over and asked him, and he confirmed that he saw Juan as well. I think it's interesting. Like, everybody's like, yeah, I saw Juan. It's like, no, I didn't. Juan texted me. He's not going to be here. I just think it's interesting. They all got in that conversation.
Yeah.
Now, I know there are many possibilities, and I know that there is a huge chance that Juan did, in fact, show up that morning and is only denying it to mess with us. But I think what happened next is proof enough, at least for me, to prove that he didn't come in that morning. So fast forward to Monday morning. The first thing I did was to flag down Juan and ask if he truly did not come in on Saturday. He denied it, and I went all day badgering him and pushing him to tell me the truth. He remained adamant that he did not come in, but I still didn't believe him. Then, as we were both walking into the AP Spanish room, the teacher stopped him at the door and told him that he was sorry because he lost his test. Then Juan told him he didn't come in, and the teacher looked dumbfounded and told him that he saw him there. Juan had the opportunity to lie and get a pass on the test, but instead he told the teacher that he didn't, and instead failed and ended up getting a D because of it. I honestly don't think he would go that far if he were telling a joke, especially one that so badly reflected on his grade. I believe on that day, we didn't see Juan. We saw his doppelganger, and I can never erase the image of it looking up at me and waving. This experience has led me to always ask people if they believe in doppelgangers. Do you guys? Thank you if you read this. I love your show. I listen to it at work every chance I get. Luis. So that's an interesting doppelganger story.
Well, and I think we're looking at, like, doppelganger does not have to mean it's a spirit doppelganger, right? Doppelganger just means it looks a lot like somebody else, or they look a lot alike. But we can have this twist on it where we do have this kind of paranormal thing. We've discussed this before, you know, if a spirit can take the likeness of someone else,
right,
someone, and then present that way.
Maybe if you, like, were a spirit, it would be fun. It would be like, man, if I look like Juan today, I can interact with people. I can be back in high school, and it's cool and fun.
Well, and, you know, if you and I hadn't both had the exact same experiences, only from real people.
But I know that the person they were talking about in college with me was an actual person who existed who looked a lot like me.
Right.
This was...
And I'm saying I did too. And so they all are saying there's no possibility that there's anyone that just looks a lot like him, and they all thought it was him that day.
They all thought it was Juan. Everybody, including the teacher, thought it was Juan. And you know your friends well enough, you would know if there's somebody who looks a lot like Juan. It doesn't seem to me that that's a doppelganger, a real life, that person looks like me doppelganger. I think that's, and Juan did not show up for the test. And the teacher's like, oh, crap, I lost Juan's test. I saw him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so the teacher, it was so real to the teacher that he's blaming himself. So I don't know what that is. But I've definitely heard stories of ghosts that take on the appearance of somebody, take on the voice of someone.
Yeah, we have heard that. I don't know. I just keep trying to think in my head if there's some sort of, you know, explanation of someone that looks a lot like Juan and everybody just kind of glanced over, thought it was Juan and went on.
I think they would have run into that person before. I think if there was somebody at school who looked that much like Juan, because let's face it, if you're doing you're in high school and you're doing this special thing on a Saturday morning, people aren't just showing up unless they're involved in that class. You know, yeah. I could see at a football game or something like that where other people would be coming in and mm-hmm. you could see one there. But this is just the class of people. You know who's in your class. And you would know if the two guys look like each other.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know what everybody saw. But it's interesting because so many people saw him. And then the one girl's like, no, he texted me. He's not coming. But I wonder what Juan's excuse was for not coming. That took such a huge chunk of his grade. Like, what happened? I think
I'm not exactly sure either. And I keep thinking in my head, like, what's the purpose of messing with these people? Like, what's that all about? Like, why do this kind of fake Juan thing to be there?
I don't know. But we've heard it before. It's not the first time we've heard this, and so I don't know why or how or anything like that, but I kind of think maybe it was Juan's doppelganger. Don't know. I think it's an interesting
Juan's
concept.
Doppelganger, paranormal doppelganger.
Yeah.
Doppelganger like doesn't just mean it has to be that.
Hey, it's Tony Bruschi. Have you ever tried to break a bad habit but felt like you're climbing Mount Everest in flip-flops? Yeah, we've been there too. But there is a breath of fresh air. Fume. What is it? It's not about giving up. It's about switching up. Fume takes your habit and simply makes it better, healthier, and quite honestly, a whole lot more enjoyable and flavorful. Fume is an innovative, award-winning flavored air device that does just that. Instead of vapor, Fume gives you flavored air. Instead of electronics, Fume is completely natural. And instead of harmful chemicals, Fume uses delicious flavors. Understand? Instead of bad, Fume is good. It's a habit you're free to enjoy and makes replacing your bad habit easy. Your Fume comes with an adjustable airflow dial. It's designed with movable parts and magnets for fidgeting, giving your fingers a lot to do, which is helpful for distressing and anxiety when you break your bad habit. It's amazing how much I'm like fidgeting with mine. And the taste, it's awesome. The first time you try it, more flavorful than you've ever imagined. That's what I found to be really surprising. Feels super fresh. And like I said, it feels good in your hand. The weight is good on it. It's balanced. It's fun to fidget with if you're someone like that, like I am. And it looks really cool. Beautiful, real wood built into the actual Fume itself. Plus, Fume's just released a magnetic stand for your Fume, so there's no more losing it around the house. It's built, like I said, with fidgeting in mind, so you can spin your Fume around on it as well. Keep your year going strong and go with a good habit by going to tryfume.com/stories and getting the journey pack today. Fume is giving listeners of the show 10% off when you use my code STORIES to help make starting the good habit that much easier. Again, start the good habit at tryfume.com/stories to save 10% off the journey pack today.
Well, let's go to a caller. Here we go.
Okay. Caitlin, I am actually new to your guys' podcast. When I was in, I think, middle school, I used to like to read late at night, and I would have my window blinds open with the window shut because I live in Florida, so it's always hot. And I would like to do that because I like to see the moon when I was reading. And I remember I was reading one night, and it was getting really late. I don't know how late it was. But I got this sinking feeling that somebody was watching me. And so I remember specifically getting close, like scooting into my bed and like trying to like hide behind my book. And the feeling just got heavier and heavier. And I finally worked up the courage to pull my book down. And in my window, I saw not the drama, but like the comedy version of the mask, where it was like smiling, but it was just white and hollow. And usually I can see like the trees and my neighbor's house and the moon, but it was just pitch black in that white face in my window. And I was just frozen in fear. And I remember looking at it and just trying to comprehend what I was seeing. And then finally the fight or flight snapped in, and I jumped up out of bed and I ran into my dad's room and my parents' room, and my dad went out there with a gun because, you know, that's what you do in Florida. And he didn't see anything. There was nothing going on. The leaves were perfectly fine underneath my window. And I just remember how scared I was to go back in my room. And ever since then, I've never slept with my window blinds open because I'm terrified of what's looking in. And I have quite a few stories. I refuse to call myself sensitive because I don't want that. I don't want the gift, so to speak. And I sound insane just saying that. But sometimes it kind of just forces its way through, even as much as I push back and refuse to accept it. So I have a few more stories. If I build up the courage to call in again, I will. But thank you so much for all that you guys do. And I hope you guys have a great day.
Before we address the mask thing, the drama comedy mask that she saw in the window, do you think that if you're sensitive, I think that you can kind of turn it off a little. Some people learn how to do that. But do you think you can turn it off completely? Do you think you could be like, I do not want to be sensitive? And it may be there are some
tools. That's an interesting question. I don't think so. At least not like in my case. I don't see how that could ever happen because I walk into a room or something, and if there's something there, it just, I know it. Like, there's not me saying, no, walk into this room. You can't feel anything if something's there, right? You just, you know what I'm talking about. You walk in and you just, you get the goosebumps. You know it because it happens when sometimes I least expect it.
You know, because she doesn't want to be what she is, get that. But I don't know if you can stop that.
I couldn't. I don't know how. I'd have to have somebody smarter than me give me tips on that. But like if I walk into a place and there's some negative energy, some sort of paranormal energy or whatever, I just sense it. It's not a switch that I can turn off or on.
Seeing that, you know, that mask that she's talking about, the drama comedy thing, which is pretty
creepy. It kind of reminded me
anyway.
Of the, like, the V for Vendetta mask or something.
Yeah, it's kind of like that, very much like that. To look out your window and see that, that would scare the shit out of me.
It would scare the shit out of me, but I think someone could be wearing it.
Now, it didn't say if she was on the second floor or the first floor.
Right.
Now, if she's on the second floor, what the hell? If she's on the first floor, it could be her brother.
Yeah, and she had mentioned that she didn't think the leaves were messed up right there. So, you know, and that makes me think it was a first floor situation.
I just remember my friend John Bates doing that to me with...
People will do it.
He did that to me when I was laying in bed
creepy
reading.
People you don't even know just for kicks out doing it, you know? And I have to say... That could be somebody with a mask on. But in her defense, that to me is just as scary, if not scarier.
Oh, when he did that to me, I screamed so loud. And it was one of those wig heads that are you just put your wig on when you, you know, actors use them all the time on their dressing tables. And so you put your wig there and you put it on the wig head. And so I heard this like scratching on my screen and I looked over and there's the wig head. It was just that white foam thing.
Well,
and oh my
I
God.
Mean, it's really scary. But I'm saying if there's some creepy guy in the neighborhood, that's just as creepy to me.
Yeah. So you I know, don't know. I can't say it was totally paranormal because like if you were on the second floor, paranormal. Yeah. How
yeah.
Else?
Yeah. 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 Yeah.
First floor, maybe not.
And maybe the leaves are messed up, or maybe they're not. I'm not sure the leaf thing is a great indicator of somebody, you know. But, like I said, if you want to know the truth, I'm not sure that I wouldn't be more creeped out with some weird guy.
And even if it was a weird guy, I would be keeping my curtains shut for the rest of
forever,
my life. Yeah.
For the rest of my life.
Even if it was a creepy guy and not a ghost. So I don't know if it was paranormal or not. We have questions.
Yeah, we have questions, but we're totally, either way, totally creepy.
Okay, so here's another short story. It says, my name is Amanda. I live near the Twin Cities in Minnesota. I have had experiences with the paranormal my whole life, although none have quite scared me as much as two more recent events. The first story happened at a friend's apartment where I'd been pet sitting their bunny. The first time I stayed over and watched him was a few years ago because apparently the last sitter refused to stay over there anymore because she felt the place was haunted. The first night, as I was sleeping, I ended up in a sleep paralysis-like state. And there were these shadow people that came out from under the bed. They were speaking, but I couldn't understand what they were saying. Eventually, I was able to move, and as soon as I did, they disappeared. I would have thought that it was just a waking dream, but when I got up the next morning, there were large dust bunnies. I don't believe they had anything to do with the real bunny. that had been under the bed the night before, and now they were next to the bed, like they had come out, like they came out with something.
With the shadows.
Oh, I see. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so the shadow people brought out the dust bunnies.
Right.
Could be. When I came out of the room, the bunny was loose. He was locked up at night, and there was no way he could undo the latch. I still had to watch the bunny for 6 more days. Nothing else happened during that stay, but I had trouble falling asleep each night, I imagine. But since the bunny was out, the bunny could have gotten under the bed, and the dust bunnies could have come out. The bunny got the dust bunnies out.
Right.
Now how, and maybe you thought it was latched and it wasn't latched. I don't know. But it would creep me out from having a sleep paralysis dream.
Exactly. Sleep paralysis is so awful. Yeah.
The second story happened about a week ago, and once again, I ended up in a sleep paralysis-like state. This happens a lot. And I could feel that there was something in the room with me. I didn't think much of it, but then I physically felt the bed get pushed down behind me, like someone was kneeling directly behind me and reaching over me to the nightstand. I opened my eyes and I saw a shadow arm stretched across me. Ooh. I struggled to move to push the weight away. When I was finally able to move again, the arm immediately disappeared, but I was unable to fall back asleep for quite some time. I don't know if these are weird coincidences and episodes of sleep paralysis, but they scare the crap out of me. I'm curious to hear others' opinions about these events. You guys rock. Love the show. Keep up the great work, Amanda. Sleep paralysis, absolutely. Scare the crap out of you.
Yes, most definitely.
100,000%, mm-hmm. Yes. Now, I don't know. We've talked about those before because sleep paralysis dream, yes. Mm-hmm. Paranormal, I don't know, maybe. I think there are times that it can go into a paranormal situation.
I agree.
I don't know. But, you know, I've had him and I've been absolutely 100% terrified, like the most scared I've ever been.
Yeah. It's horribly frightening. Is sleep paralysis always, you know, and like that's always been the thing I've said that I find strange. It's like, why does sleep paralysis always have to be hand in hand with something scary? It always is. I've read these research papers on it, and for some reason or other, it taps into this scary visions or nightmares, or is it really paranormal? You know, kind of thing that happens when you have these. I don't know. Definitely it's sleep paralysis. Could the bunny have gotten out and done and gotten under the bed and messed stuff around? Possibly somehow that, like you said, there's some sort of explanation for that.
But having that, the dream and that go hand in hand, it makes it feel super creepy.
It does. Though I have had dreams that, and I'll bet most everybody has too, where you have this dream and like, you know, in your dream, like the phone is ringing and you answer it, but it's still ringing. And so you go to a different phone and it's still ringing. And then you finally wake up enough to realize your phone is ringing for real, you know, Like it's like we incorporate sounds or voices or things into our dreams when we're in a certain state of our dreams. And maybe she heard something under the bed and incorporated that into this sleep paralysis nightmare that was going on. I'm not sure, right? Or was it real?
I don't know.
Was it really something that was there doing that?
Just, there's no way to say. But I can, I can definitely agree that it was 100% scary AF.
Oh, yeah. I agree. Yeah, it's so frightening.
I hate them. I haven't had one in a really, really, really long time. That's me knocking on wood. Oh, I scared the crap out of my cat. But Izzy was like, oh, my God, what was that?
Oh, you're knocking on wood. Oh, my God. Sounded like somebody knocked on some wood. Oh, my God.
Well, if you have a real ghost story, share it with us. If you want to call it in, 855-853-4802. You can write them in at realghoststoriesonline.com. If you want to be a premium subscriber, that option is available. You get no commercials, advance episodes, and access to the complete archive. Sign up today through Apple Podcasts or do that through patreon.com/realghoststories or go to ghostpodcast.com. For all of us here at Real Ghost Stories Online, thank you for listening.